I'm calling the Community and Regional Affairs Committee meeting to order at 8:06 a.m. on Thursday, February 22nd. Joining me today, we have Representative Tallarico, Representative Christ-Tompkins, Representative Sadler, Representative Drummond, and Representative Lincoln. Our staff this morning are Lori Rollins from House of Records, Ben Manley on teleconference, and my committee aide, Patrick Cortnish. We have a quorum to do business. At this time, I'd like to remind you to silence your cell phones and other electronic devices. We have two items on the agenda today. House Joint Resolution 30, urge U.S. support of refugees, and House Bill 264, shopping bag fees and recycling. At this point, I'd like to call forward the sponsor of HJR 30. This is the third hearing. Second hearing on this bill. I have no amendments to it. We've already heard the sponsor's presentation and public testimony. It has a further referral to State Affairs. Are there any amendments to HJR 30? Seeing none, is there any further discussion on HJR 30? Urge U.S. support of refugees. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, I certainly appreciate the passion behind HJR 30. I think currently, though, as I've looked into the research and things, the Congress of the United States certainly has a lot on their plate, and they're doing a lot of different things. And it seems like to me that there's been several changes. There have been a lot of changes in what's been happening, particularly around the world and everything. Like I say, I understand the passion behind the resolution, I'm certainly could never claim to be an immigration expert or an expert on refugees or anything at all. I think trying to direct Congress to do this when we still actually do have quite a few programs and plans and they're working their way through some of these issues. Just for that particular perspective, I appreciate the concern that the sponsor has for sure, but I wouldn't be comfortable telling anyone what they need to do or whether to reaffirm the commitment. I'm not sure we've lost the commitment at all, so I won't be supporting the resolution. But like I say, I understand where the sponsors are coming from, and I appreciate their compassion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Tallarico. What is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I'll move HJR 30 from committee.
I'll object.
Thank you, Representative Tallarico. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Tallarico, is your objection maintained?
Yes, Mr. Chair, it is.
Thank you. Would you please call the roll?
Representative Christ-Tompkins?
Yes.
Representative Tallarico?
No.
Representative Rauscher, not present. Representative Sadler?
No.
Representative Lincoln?
Yes.
Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Co-Chair Parrish?
Yes.
Four yea, two nay.
We'll now take a brief at ease to HJR 30. At a vote of 4-2, moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the committee documents. Thank you to the members of the committee. That was HJR 30 passed out with individual recommendations and no attached fiscal note. The second order of business is House Bill 264. This is the third hearing on the bill, and we have already heard the sponsor's presentation and taken public testimony. At this time, we'll consider amendments. I should note that I've just had an amendment passed out to each of you with an attached memo from Ledge Legal. We are expecting to have someone from Ledge Legal online, but at this time I'd like to give members a few minutes to review the amendment and the memo. And we will take a brief at ease. I'll move amendment number one.
Object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. In brief, amendment number one attempts to accomplish several things. It deletes the provision requiring a retailer to have a fixed, well, it deletes the exemption for bills which are not in a year-round location or operate year-round. It increases the cap from $100,000 to $250,000 on page 4, line 5. Page 4, line 1. That deletes all the material. That was the operates year-round provision. I added that out of concern for seasonal businesses. On page one, line 8, it deletes C and inserts C and I. And on page 3, line 21, it inserts the aforementioned I, which reads, this section does not apply to a retail seller, any municipality or unincorporated community, if the municipality or unincorporated community has a population of less than 5,500 people. And as you'll see in the attached memo from Ms. Nauman, our alleged counsel, I'll take the liberty of reading. There's a equal protection question which is raised. Exempting retail sellers in communities under a certain size from the retail bag fee and recycling and reusable bag requirements of the bill triggers an equal protection concern under the state and federal constitutions. And I'll quote, the common question of addressing equal protection cases is whether two groups of people who are treated differently are similarly situated and thus entitled to equal treatment. In order for an exemption from a tax to be valid under the state's equal protection test, it must be reasonable, not arbitrary, and must bear a fair and substantial relation to a legitimate governmental objective. To survive judicial scrutiny, at a minimum, a legitimate governmental purpose must be served. You'll be responsible for building a legislative record that demonstrates both the governmental purpose and the exemption provided to retail sellers in the amendment and how the exemption fairly relates to that purpose. The outcome of this challenge to the exemption may very well depend upon the record you build. And we were expecting to have Ms. Nauman on the line. We'll take a brief at ease while we figure out if she's available to answer any further questions. So, I've offered an amendment. There's been an objection. I'd certainly invite discussion because it has raised a complicated legal question. Core to it is it useful to exclude, is it helpful to exclude communities below a certain population threshold? And Are communities below a certain population threshold similarly situated? Are the residents of those communities similarly situated to people in larger areas? So, open question. I'd certainly invite the bill's sponsor forward if there are any questions or discussion from the committee for him. Representative Drummond, did you have a
COVID? Waiting here from the bill sponsor.
Okay. Representative Josephson.
Well, as to, I did teach constitutional law for 6 years, and so I know something about it. But the normal test that is applied in an equal protection case would be, for example, should there be a bill of general purpose, general application like this, that treated Angoon differently than Hoona, one might say that on its face would run afoul of an equal protection argument. But normally you look to see whether people in similarly situated classes are treated differently. And so here I would think that because all communities under 5,500 would be treated the same, that wouldn't be a problem. However, Ms. Nauman does raise the point that during the progress of the bill through the process, to include floor arguments, theoretically there should be some discussion of why this distinction is made. Not theoretically. There should be some discussion of why this distinction is made. And I would leave it to the committee as to the purpose behind that distinction. So those are my quick thoughts on that issue.
Thank you. And if you wouldn't mind, what's your opinion of the rest of the amendment? Are there any other areas of objection for you?
No, there aren't. I think that the amendment improves the bill, and I would note that there are smaller communities. We heard testimony, extensive testimony about that, 2 Saturdays ago, or 12 days ago, and there are communities that are doing it anyway. And this would allow them, if adopted, to effectively opt in, although it wouldn't be opting into a law. They would just be doing it. That is, the doing it, for the record, is banning plastic bags or perhaps seeking a fee on plastic bags. And otherwise, I don't have any objection or any concern with the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Josephson. Are there any further questions for the bill's sponsor at this time? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not a question so much as a statement. I know that community is a word with generally positive connotations, but I was piqued to see that on the first page of the memo from Ledge Legal, the community actually has some technical definitions. So, again, while it's a wonderfully positive, glowing word, it's nice to see that there are specific definitions as to what a community really is.
As for the record, I'm going to read a whole bunch, although this will also be entered in. There are a number of definitions for community offered in statute, ranging from a city, as that term is defined under AS 2971-800, an established village that's located in a borough or the unorganized borough, a place in the unorganized borough, in a borough, or in a unified municipality that's not incorporated as a municipality, that is not a reserve, and in which 25 or more individuals reside as a social unit. It was my intent in the amendment that the word community should be understood broadly and commonsensically to mean a more under the early one, a city or an established village located in a borough or in the unorganized borough. Yeah. Representative Lincoln.
This is, thank you, Mr. Chair. So the issue of know, the constitutionality of equal protection is something that I haven't had to grapple with before. I wish I had 6 years of, you know, teaching constitutional law behind me. I just want to point out that one of the classes or categories of communities that this would apply to, it's not just about population levels, but one of the features of the original bill is that, you know, they'd impose a 20-cent tax on these bags, but municipalities would be able to impose their own tax up to that point, and so potentially the revenue from that tax or that fee would be captured locally, kept locally for local uses, but unincorporated villages don't have that same opportunity. So regardless of whether we keep the population levels as a requirement, I think we still need to figure out a way, I think, to work with unincorporated villages.
Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just an observation. We were provided a very good list of communities that have a ban, and it certainly appeared to me on that list, I may not be, I think I'm pretty sure that the majority of those communities actually have a population below 5,500 people that are on the list where they've already exercised a ban. Just an observation, you know, we've mentioned that in here, and the biggest portion of all of that list of those communities were reasonably small communities where they don't have a population of over 5,500. And then I don't think that's a problem, but I'd like to hear from other committee members. You know, the way the bill is designed to identify retail seller and not boundaries, and the amendment provides boundaries, and we have retail sellers that serve more than one community, and I'm certainly aware of one that has stores in several communities that are below 5,500 people, and a couple of really big stores in a really one of Alaska's larger communities, and there's kind of a since I think there might be a future issue there as that moves ahead. You know, I think we were probably looking at it as individual stores and individual communities by individual owners. It could be easily identified where they're at, but that's not always the case. Like I say, that may not be a problem. Maybe somebody from a legal standpoint would say, well, no, it's defined in the boundaries of your community. It doesn't matter where your home office is, or it doesn't matter how many satellite locations you have, but I could see a retailer kind of complicates the issue for them to some degree, and particularly if they buy their supplies in bulk and distribute those as such, and then there's a new accounting mechanism now for the distribution of the bags and the amount of bags that go out and everything. So I just an observation, Mr. Chair. I don't know how that would work out. Maybe it's not a problem at all, but I kind of thought about that with some of them are spread out in these different locations, and so when we start sorting them out, kind of changes things for those people.
And to that point, Representative Tallarico, I'd turn your attention to page 3, line 28, which has the definition of retail seller for the purposes of the bill, which includes a market, grocery store, convenience store, drug store, or similar established that, one, is located in a permanent building. Mm-hmm. And then I strike two with this amendment, mm-hmm. which is operates year-round. And three, sells at retail, household supplies, mm-hmm. perishable items, or food merchandise, including meat, produce, dairy products, or snack foods, or an establishment that has an annual gross sales of $100,000, by amendment would change it to $250,000, or more in the previous calendar year, and that provides disposable shopping bags. So the location of the corporate office would be immaterial for the purposes of this bill. I see that we've been joined by Doug Gardner online for any questions. He's from Legislative Legal. Are there any further questions from the committee or comments? Representative Drummond.
I'm not sure that this amendment accomplishes what the sponsor of the bill intends. And in my opinion, that's urging communities to consider protecting their environments and finding and not finding plastic bags distributed in various places upon the beauty of our state. I don't think that seasonal businesses should be exempted. Am I mistaken that seasonal businesses are excused from this from the requirements of this bill?
Representative Drummond, actually, in the original bill, they are, unless they've had an annual gross sales of over $100,000. In my amended version, they would no longer be exempted, even if they had a lower sales threshold, or if they sold less than $100,000. My amendment would say any business, any establishment that has an annual gross sales of over $250,000 or more in the previous calendar year, and that provides disposable shopping bags, would be required, would be treated as a retail seller and subject to the requirements of the bill. To your point specifically, again on page 3, line 28, under the definition of retail seller, that is, the people who are subject to the retirement, the requirements of the bill. The bill, as originally drafted, does exempt businesses which do not operate year-round. My amendment removes that exemption.
I see. Okay. Well, then in that case, I'm in favor of it. They will be required to tax the distribution of plastic bags like this to their customers and encourage them to bring their own. But the tax continues to apply in a seasonal business.
That's correct, Representative Drummond. Unless the sales of that business were less than $250,000 in the previous calendar year,
then I'm okay with the amendment. Okay,
thank you.
I can remove my objection.
I see that Representative Sadler still has a comment.
I'll just raise a point. So it basically replaces a seasonal operations threshold with a retail sales threshold.
Not exactly. There was a retail sales threshold which already existed. On page 4, line 5, subsection B, an establishment that has an annual gross sales of $100,000 or more in the previous calendar year and that provides disposable shopping bags. That threshold struck me as rather low. I didn't want to capture businesses that are just starting out. And so my amendment raises that threshold to make it a little bit easier for new businesses who are transitioning into the economy to have a gentle start, where they won't be required to start collecting the fee immediately.
Right. My understanding is, by whether at $100,000 or $250,000 a year retail, that becomes the threshold. By the amendment's elimination of page 4, line 1, you eliminate the seasonality and leave yourself with the test of the retail sales threshold, unless I'm misunderstanding it.
You're correct. It also leaves in the first category, and I should say that 1, 2, and 3, located in a permanent building, operates year-round and sells at retail, household supplies, perishable items, or food merchandise, including meat, produce, dairy products, or snack foods, or is all nested under A, and B is a separate category. So they're... If it's the case that an establishment, if this amendment should pass, has annual gross sales of $250,000 or more in the previous calendar year, and that it provides disposable shopping bags, or it's located in a permanent building, et cetera, then it would be subject to the restrictions of the bill. Are there any further comments? Representative Sadler, is your objection maintained?
I maintain my objection. Let's vote.
All right. Would you please call the roll?
Amendment 1 to HB 264, Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Representative Christ Tompkins?
Yes.
Representative Tallarico?
No.
Representative Rauscher, not present. Representative Sadler?
No.
Representative Lincoln?
Yeah, yes.
Co-chair Parrish?
Yes.
4 yea, 2 nay.
I have no other amendments before the committee. That brings the bill as amended before the committee. Is there further discussion of the bill? Seeing none, Representative Sadler. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, once again, I do appreciate the sponsor and the intent of the bill. I think we're all aware that there are quite a few municipal people in town, and this was a great opportunity to talk to some of those folks. And I mention it all the time, but I'm a former municipal guy, and I know that there are efforts in particular places, particularly in the municipality I live in, to begin a process to start to adjust the community to that and everything. And what we have seen from a list is that several small communities, and I applaud those small communities for what they've done. I think that's great. They've got their bag band going, and I see it's taken a reasonably long period of time. One of those started quite a few years ago, over 10 years ago, I think, and through the course of time they started to do that. And I appreciate the sentiment behind the bill, but I am one of those people that I'm concerned. I think the municipalities have the ability to do this if they so choose, and I think they're probably moving towards that. We had a large one that did it recently. And it's just one of those things that I have a lot of confidence in municipal government around the state and tribal governments around the state and everything. So for that particular reason, I won't be supporting the bill. I think if we bring this to their attention, for sure, I think it'll probably increase the efforts. And, you know, there are some municipal officials that are quite honestly saying, well, here the state goes again. We have local government to take care of our local issues and the desires and needs of our local community. At least I got that message from them, Mr. Chairman, so I won't be supporting the bill. I also I have a concern about the 20-cent fee and some of the what I foresee is inventory and accounting measures that the retailers will have to undertake here. I'll leave it at that, Mr. Chairman, but thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Tallarico. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will object to the passage of the bill in addition to the good reasons given by my friend from Healy. The sponsor has said that his ultimate goal was, in truth, a ban on the plastic bags, but he considered and came down on the side of a statewide ban as being more achievable. And in my view, setting up the apparatus and the procedures for a statewide tax when it's possible the next step could be a total ban is onerous on business and confusing and costly to the public. Having spoken to people on both sides of the issue, it seems to me at least there are remedies short of a statewide taxation scheme, which I think could be equally as effective and less, I use the word onerous, but less prescriptive and prescriptive. So on that basis, I'll oppose the bill.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. The bill does have one fiscal note, which you'll find attached, from the Department of Revenue showing a fiscal expenditure of $222,000 and $3.3 million in revenues starting in 2020. Are there any questions about the fiscal note?
Question about which committee goes to next? Is it the finance?
Labor. The next committee of referral will be Labor and Commerce, and there'll be another opportunity for public testimony there, I anticipate. Is there any discussion about the Representative Drummond?
Just a comment. I'm trying to recall if this is the bill where we talked about the 20-cent fee being collected not as a tax but as a purchase, as an additional purchase. So in addition to the groceries or whatever the buyer is choosing, they would also pay 20 cents for the bag or 40 cents for two of them. Am I mistaken in recalling that as part of the discussion?
No, Representative Drummond. The fee, although it's very attractive to refer to any government charges as a tax, and I'm sensible to the thoughts, but there's a per bag fee which is contemplated. Of course, we could ask Mr. Gardner from Ledge Legal to opine on the distinction if he sees any. Just been informed that Mr. Gardner is no longer on the line with us. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. To the representative's question to my left, I think Section D on line 20 of page 2 lays out that the retail seller shall add the fee to the total receipt and so forth. So I think that's the gist of your question. Yes, it will be added as a purchase.
Unless.
In Section E, it will be reported back to the state.
A large portion, I believe 25%, is maintained by the retail seller to offset the costs of administering the program and the recycling. It should also be noted that the municipality, as Representative Lincoln observed earlier, a municipality has the option of supplanting the state fee with one of its own. Are there any further questions? Seeing none, what is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 264-30-LS1178/J as amended from committee with individual recommendations and fiscal note.
Is there any objection?
I'll object.
Thank you. Do you wish to speak to your objection? Again.
Well, look at this clock, Mr. Chairman. No, I don't.
Thank you, Representative Tallarico. Unless there is any further discussion, Ms. Rowland, would you please call the roll?
Representative Lincoln?
Yes.
Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Representative Christ Tompkins?
Yes.
Representative Tallarico?
No.
Representative Rauscher, not present. Representative Sadler?
No.
Co-chair Parrish?
Yes.
4 yea, 2 nay.
We'll take a brief, at a vote of 4-2, the House Bill 264, as amended, has passed the committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the committee documents.
Our motivations and intelligence. Yeah,
The committee will please return to order. That was the final item on the agenda. The next meeting will be Saturday, February. Actually, I will cancel the Saturday meeting at this time. This meeting is adjourned at 8:48 a.m.